The real hopeless victims of mental illness are to be found among those who appear to be most normal. Many of them are normal because they are so well adjusted to our mode of existence, because their human voice has been silenced so early in their lives that they do not even struggle or suffer or develop symptoms as the neurotic does. They are normal not in what may be called the absolute sense of the word. They are normal only in relation to a profoundly abnormal society. Their perfect adjustment to that abnormal society is a measure of their mental sickness. These millions of abnormally normal people, living without fuss in a society to which, if they were fully human beings, they ought not to be adjusted. And this week's opening quote comes from Aldous Huxley. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Now, as I've been alluding to on the show somewhat frequently of late, what we really see on the planet today is a humanitarian crisis. And I believe it is our failure to look at things from a humanitarian perspective that has allowed this crisis to continue. Now, when we look at the problems on the world, when we see the problems we've got, and we've got so many problems, I mean, every country around the world, we've got so many problems. But when we see these things, we look at them politically. When we see the conflict between the people in Yemen and Saudi Arabia, we think, oh, well, this is a politically strategic thing. It's not really. It's a humanitarian thing. And what we've got really on this planet is a huge corporate system which is being used to consolidate the power of very few people and to discard vast sections of humanity. And we're not going to be able to heal this situation and deal with any of the problems we've got in the world until we start looking at things that way. We've got to put all of our political and national beliefs aside, just for the moment, and look at things from a humanitarian perspective. You know, when I see the crisis that has recently come to light in Yarmouk refugee camp in Syria, where there were 160,000 Palestinians living in the most horrendous of conditions, now there's about 18,000 because they've had to flee because of the war in Syria. But now that area has been taken over by ISIL and al-Nusra Front, who've combined forces to attack Damascus via the refugee camp. And it's the Palestinians in the refugee camp who are suffering. And when I see this sort of stuff, to me, they're not just strange people in a strange place. They're my brothers and sisters. And I feel their fear, I feel their pain, I feel their terror. It's the same for the people in Ukraine. I feel what these people are going through. I feel their pain and suffering and the sheer horror and terror of their daily lives. You know, I feel the terror of the children trying to sleep at night, wondering what has happened to their reality. And my heart just tears for these people. It really does. And that's why I do what I do. And that's why I've gone to so much effort on these shows to attempt to help shift people's perspective and help people understand the beauty of themselves so that they can see that in others, so that they can see that they have no enemies on this planet. They have no enemies anywhere in the human race. They're all just people. Nobody really wants to hurt anybody else. People have been set against each other by the system itself. They've been set against each other for economic reasons, nationalistic reasons, religious reasons, different social and ethnic reasons, all sorts of constructs that have been given to us by the system to keep us divided, to keep us judging each other, and to keep us separated. And the human race just seems to be clawing over itself in some sort of mad frenzy. You know, everybody's trying to climb to the top of the pile at the expense of everybody else and get some little piece of some mythical cloud that apparently exists there. I mean, I don't know what it is, but the human race has lost their way so much. I mean, generally speaking, we have completely lost our path. And I just wonder what it's going to take for people to just stop and step back and just look at what we're doing. It's like the entire human race has just gone completely mad and the entire species is just eating itself. You know, our actions just don't make any sense, folks. I mean, when you can see this, and it is a reality, folks, when you can see this, you can see what the human experience has become. Well, then you have to wonder how we got here. How did the human mindset ever become this convoluted, this misguided? How did we ever lose our path so much? How did we ever get into a position where we hold human life in such little regard? It really is fascinating, folks, when you look at it. I mean, we talk about having high moral standards. We have organizations such as World Vision and all these things that apparently are there to help refugees and starving and homeless people, and funds there to save the children and all this sort of stuff. And yet on the other hand, we just go out and destroy as much life and property and environment as possible. And we do it all in order to support the economic model. You see, it's all okay if it's good for the economy. Doesn't matter if we discard people as long as it's good for the economy, because we're improving the economy to make the place better for the people. This is the convoluted way we think. And it cancels itself out. You know, you're destroying the people and discarding the people in order to improve the economy so that you can have a nice, strong country for the people. By the time you do that, there's no people that are living any type of quality of life, unless there's someone who owns a major corporation or something. But if you're just one of the workers, there's no quality of life for anybody. And if you're not part of this economic system, and there's resources that may exist in the ground where you live, well, we will discard you in order to support the economic system. And our need to continually support this economic model has taken humanity out of the equation. And people have come to accept this as just being the way things are because they've been trained to think this way. A lot of it has come through the education system, but more of it has come from the media. I mean, sure, the politicians are pretty bad as well. I mean, the politicians do a lot of bad stuff. You can blame them for just about everything that's gone wrong, because they're the ones that have written the rules down on pieces of paper that have let it go wrong. But ultimately, the interface between government and the people is the media. And the mainstream media, I mean, these unconscionable liars and utter sociopaths that populate the mainstream media have got so much to answer for because of the training and the mind control and the programming that they push upon the general populace. You know, the hatred, the fear-mongering, the warmongering, the promotion of slaughter and promotion of genocide, the biased, slanted way they present so-called news to people, their manufacturing of news, and their utter failure to report the truth on just about any issue has been a huge problem for the human experience, and we really can place a lot of blame for the global situation directly at the feet of the mainstream media, because these are the ones who've spun the whole lot, and these are the ones who have sold the lie to the public, and these are the ones who have allowed the government corruption to continue by placing a veil of silence over it and misdirecting people and teaching people that far less important issues are what are really of consequence. I mean, when you look at the news, folks, what do you get? You get a couple of major stories, which are usually fear-mongering. Then you get a whole bunch of sport and then a little bit of feel-good stuff at the end. You don't actually get any objective news, and you don't get any real journalism. It's simply gone from the mainstream media. And that is a lot of the reason why people have been so desensitized, and why people allow such rampant corruption to continue, and why people have such little regard for human life now. Even though they do inside, I mean, I'll look at the news and I'll be quite happy to donate to some charity and send some money off to some war-torn area, but ultimately they don't really want to look at it. They don't really want to look at the images on the TV. The images are just put there to desensitize them and get them used to seeing that this is what the world is like. Because the world is just basically an open slaughterhouse these days, folks. And those who aren't being slaughtered are being appeased by television while the slaughter continues all around the planet in their name. And it continues because we continue to look at the world politically or nationally. We fail to look at it from a humanitarian perspective. And that's what's needed, because that's what we've got. We've got a massive humanitarian crisis on the planet. You know, I got a lot of criticism from last week's show because I was criticizing people who spend their time going down rabbit holes. People said, well, Max, you spent your life going down rabbit holes, which is how you got the information you've got now, which enables you to do what you do. So shouldn't we be going down rabbit holes and finding out all this information as well? Well, folks, there are rabbit holes and there are rabbit holes. There are some rabbit holes that lead you to information, and there are some rabbit holes that lead to endless debate and things you can never prove. You know, the extraterrestrial rabbit hole, the hollow earth rabbit hole, the flat earth rabbit hole, the evolution creationist interventionist rabbit hole. These sorts of rabbit holes, though very interesting and great to explore in times of peace and periods in your life when you have plenty of spare time, these things are great to research. But in times of crisis, I think we need priorities. And that's what I was attempting to say with that show. Now, we're in a time of crisis. The human race is in great, great crisis at the moment. And it could be healed if we were to pay attention to it. But too many people are simply going down rabbit holes that will never lead anywhere. The flat earth debate is a debate that will never lead anywhere until you regain control of this system. That's the only way that question will ever be answered. And while the world and the human experience is deteriorating at such a rapid rate, and in a manner that could be addressed by the people if they were to pay attention, I think it's counterproductive to be going down rabbit holes that lead nowhere. Especially since these particular rabbit holes, the only solution you'll ever find, the only answer you'll ever find for these rabbit holes, will come when you have regained control of this system. And so that's where the focus needs to be. In all of these issues, folks, you need to focus on the root cause of the problem. And the root cause of the problem at the moment, the root cause of pretty well all the problems we face on this planet today, are a result of government corruption, which exists because we live in divided communities and we don't pay attention to what our governments are doing. We think we're constrained by the silly rules that these people write on pieces of paper. And that's the problem, folks. And so that's where the focus needs to be. Once we've addressed that issue, we'll have plenty of time to go down whatever rabbit holes we want. But at the moment, we are in a state of crisis, and people's attention is needed. And that's what I was attempting to say in that particular show. I mean, there are things you can go and research which are highly beneficial, and you'll find answers to them if you research enough. But there are some topics that simply lead to nowhere other than endless debate, and that's what flat earth research is. And as I said, folks, I think it's been presented to the world at this particular time anyway, just to send people down the rabbit hole and to show the general public that these 9/11 truthers and these people who think the government's corrupt, you can talk these people into believing anything, even that the earth is flat. And it's very telling too, folks, the way the media has been dropping hints and the way Obama has been dropping hints. It's like they want people to go down this rabbit hole. They want people to be distracted because they know it will keep them occupied for years to come. And no matter how many years they spend investigating it, unless they've been there, they will never be any closer to the truth. It's the perfect conspiracy to keep people wrapped up and preoccupied for years to come. And honestly, folks, at this particular time in history, I cannot think of a better topic to further divide an already divided community. And its timing right now, as the world is lapsing into a police state, is absolutely impeccable. You know, the global situation has deteriorated so rapidly in the last 12 months. It really has. It's got to epic proportions. And there are so many people waking up now. So many people in the mainstream are realizing that something is terribly wrong. And if the alternate media and alternate research community could put all of their stuff down and focus on a common goal and a common purpose and focus their attention on this control grid and this system and on the crimes of the politicians and on the crimes of the media and the rampant corruption that has brought us to this point, we could heal the whole thing in a very, very short time, and then everybody would be free to investigate whatever rabbit holes they want. But if people are going to continue to run down rabbit holes that lead nowhere and continue to ignore the system, then pretty soon they're not going to be able to do any research at all, because the police state that's being rolled out across this planet is pretty well all-encompassing, folks. And unless we deal with it, then we're going to find ourselves in a very, very precarious situation. And that's my frustration with the whole thing. That's my frustration with rabbit holes. There is a time and a place for everything. And the time for people to pay attention to the system is now. This is where the focus needs to be this year. It needs to be on the system. You need to be looking around you and noticing how many people are waking up in your community and presenting them with information that will empower them on their path. And sending them down rabbit holes is not the way to go, folks. We have to address the situation on this earth today, very, very quickly. We have to address it this year. You know, we've got to realize that we have a situation, we have a crisis, and we have to address it. And then we can figure out what happened and how we got here and what is really going on this earth. The thing is, we have a real situation, folks. We do. We have a real situation. And if we were to simply stand up and call a spade and speak the truth, we could address it. But going down rabbit holes and investigating all sorts of mysteries, I mean, it's all very well, and I've spent years doing it, and sure, it's great fun. But so many of them will never be answered until we have some freedom added to the human condition. That's what we don't have. You know, as I said last week, all of the problems that we've got are because we don't live in a free and open society, and we need to address that issue. And it's the same with all of these mysteries and all of these rabbit holes that people are investigating. The reason all of these mysteries even exist and the reason these rabbit holes are even there is because we do not live in a free and open society. And so that's where the focus needs to be. We need to make sure that our societies become free and open. And we can do that by acknowledging what our societies have become, which is essentially a slavery system. We have a society in all of our countries. All of our societies are based on debt slavery and war. That's basically it. Debt slavery, war, racism, social status, economic status, all of these fictions that have been given to us, none of which actually mean anything, and all of which are incredibly damaging to the entire human experience. And we've got to stand up and call a spade and see things for the way they are. You know, forget all the political agendas and economic agendas and resource exploitation agendas that we have. The way business is run on this planet, it's all fiction, it's all ridiculous, and it's all there to detract from the human experience and to remove humanity from the equation. And we need to put humanity back into the equation. There are people on this planet that are suffering greatly because of this system, so screw the system. We need to dismantle this system in any way that we can. And we can do it in a peaceful way. We don't need any violence. We can do it peacefully by simply not complying with it, by readjusting our moral compasses, by not doing anything which causes us to do harm to other people, and by questioning any authority which believes it has the right to cause harm to other people, questioning any legislation your government brings in your country which brings in austerity measures or puts you in a state of hardship. England, look at the taxes you people have got in England. Why on earth are you paying all these taxes? Stop paying them. You should stop paying every single tax the corrupt British government is giving to you, because there's no need for any of them. They're all simply a form of slavery. And we need to stop all of this stuff, folks. We've got to stop complying with this system. We've got to stand up and call a spade, call these criminals out, and stop them from killing and destroying all the life they can on this planet, which is exactly what they're doing. All the wars that we're fighting are completely ridiculous. All of them are completely unnecessary. All of them are causing a huge loss of human life, all being done for political agendas which are essentially fiction. Just sociopaths putting rules in place which give them the ability to take over other regions of the earth and kill as many people as they can. All the rubbish that they contrive to do it, folks, it's all rubbish, and they're all criminals, and we need to stop going along with it. Now, if you're in the army, quit. Anybody out there, if you're in the army, put down your weapons and go home. It's a ridiculous job. And all the wars that you're fighting are all being fought under false pretenses. All you're doing is destroying the planet at the whim of bankers. You've been lied to. You've been led astray. You've been led from your path. And you're killing people who've never done anything to you. Put down your weapons and go home. I don't know, folks. We just need to inject a little sanity into this situation on this planet. We really do. You know, we can investigate all the rabbit holes we want. We're never going to get anywhere until we regain control of this system. We've got to stop killing people. We've got to stop allowing this whole corporate rampage to keep going. You know, do that, folks, and that's when we'll really start getting somewhere. You know, I don't care what shape the earth is. I don't care about any of that stuff. What I care about is freedom, first and foremost. Because once we have that, once we have freedom, then all the mysteries will be solved. All the rabbit holes will be open. Everything will be freely available for us to go and find out once we have freedom. And all of the sidetracking and tunnels that we're running down, it's leading us nowhere. It's simply leading us to points of endless discussion, and we're ignoring what's actually going on around us because we're too preoccupied with trying to find out how we got here rather than realizing that we are here and attempting to extricate ourselves from this situation, at which point how we got here will become apparent to us. All the questions will be answered at that point because we will have the freedom that we've always needed to be able to really investigate things. And to me, I think that's where the focus needs to be, especially at this crucial point in history, because it is a very crucial point, folks. The police state that these guys are rolling out is very real, and it's very powerful, and it's being rolled out very, very quickly. The only problem is that people are not paying attention. You've got all these people down rabbit holes trying to figure out how we got here. You've got all these other free man type people going off in their bubbles of narcissism, believing that they're already free. And nobody really seems to be turning and addressing the problem at its root cause. And that's what we need people to do. You know, one day of unity from the alternate media and from the alternate research community would do wonders. It really would. If everyone would put all their stuff down, put all their rabbit holes down, put all their research to the side just for the moment and turn and face this system, we could heal it in a single day. We really could. And imagine what we could do if we turned our attention to it for a week or a month or a year and then went back to our research. We could create an incredibly vibrant society, a society where nobody was suffering, where nobody was in a state of hardship, and then we would have the freedom to find out the answers to all of the most troubling mysteries that have always puzzled the mind of man. We would be free to do that if we would put some priorities in place and address things at their root cause. And that is what has been the biggest frustration for me throughout this entire endeavor. You know, when I step back and look at the world, folks, and I look at what we've done to this world, I look at the Middle East and I look at what we've done. How many countries is it now that we've gone in and just obliterated the countries and left people in a state where they're absolutely destitute and the country's run by violent gangs? Look what we did to Libya. Libya was a great country. It was stable. The people had the highest standard of living in the entire African continent. And look what we've done to it. We went in there, we bombed all of their infrastructure, bombed their houses, bombed their buildings, destroyed everything we could, left it as a failed state, and now it's run by gangs where slavery and rape and death and torture are everyday events and everyday occurrences. Look what we've done to Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, now Syria. Look what we're doing to Yemen. You know, when I look at it, folks, and I look at what the West has done under the guise of bringing freedom and democracy to the world, we have gone and impoverished and destroyed and brutalized entire nations of people. And we get these psychopath puppets up there in their suits explaining to us how we need to go in and free the people and we're doing the right thing and expressing all their humanitarian concerns and pretending that they actually care about people when they're just a bunch of mass murdering psychopaths That's what all of our leaders are, ladies and gentlemen. And what we have allowed these people to do to our beautiful planet is absolutely unconscionable. And we could address all of these issues and all of these problems if we were to simply stand up and call a spade and address the problems at their root cause. I mean, it's time we all called these scumbag criminal politicians out and named them for what they are, folks. Don't let them get up there in their suits and spread their lies and sprout their rhetoric. Just point the finger at them and call them for what they are, because they're a bunch of war criminals and mass murderers who are getting up there and lying to the public in order to promote massive global instability under the pretext of bringing peace to the world. And we've got to call Israel out for what it is, folks, because all of the mess we see in the Middle East, this is all the result of Israel. As much as we point the finger at America for doing it, which it is America doing it, but it's the Zionist lobby within the American government that's doing it. It isn't really America. It's the Zionist influence in America. Because what Israel has done is it's infiltrated American politics, and it's using its influence over American politics to basically milk the wealth of the country dry, impoverish all the people in America. I mean, they don't care about the people. You've got tent cities in America. You got half of Chicago without water because they can't afford to pay their water rates, and yet we're funneling billions of dollars of weapons into the Middle East in order to destabilize the Middle East in order to support the Greater Israel Project. And that's what all this is about, folks. That's who's doing it all. All of the instability in the Middle East is coming from Israel, and it's all being done because of the influence that Israel has over the American political system and over the American military-industrial complex. And that's where all the instability is coming from. And it's about time we named that for what it is and called a spade a spade. And stop letting our politicians just get up there and spread lies to the world and create war after war after war and discard the population the way they're doing. I mean, these are people, folks. All these people in the Middle East that are suffering at the hands of what our governments are doing, these are people with lives and children. They have the same needs and wants and desires as everybody else. They're people with value, the same as anybody from the West, and we're destroying them because we are allowing our governments to simply run roughshod over all of these countries. And we have to stand up and call a spade, folks. We've got to stop this happening. We've got to stand up and protect this world and protect this planet and protect the people that live on it. And we've got to rein our out-of-control governments back under control, because no one else is going to do it. It's up to the people. It's up to the people. We have to step up to the plate, and now's the time we need to do it. But I think we've reached break time here, folks. So I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's a pleasure to have your company. It always is. And I'll look forward to speaking to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You know, folks, after investigating the global situation for so many years and going down so many rabbit holes and attempting to find ways out of this mess for so long, certain things have become painfully obvious to me. And one of them is just how many rabbit holes have been set up for us to go down. And when I say set up for us, I really do mean that, folks. I think that there has been all sorts of conspiracies that have been created specifically for us to go and investigate. Things such as the Illuminati, the big controlling hand. Because yes, there is a controlling hand, but it isn't really what people believe it to be. But yeah, there are a group of powerful bankers who control the world, or at least control the functions of the world by controlling the money system and marginalizing certain countries and using their unlimited supply of money to control certain think tanks which lead the world in a certain direction. And all of these think tanks have interrelated research without any of them actually knowing that they're related to each other. But there is a group of powerful people who are pulling the strings from afar. They're not nearly as powerful as we perceive them to be, but yes, they do exist. And they've got a game plan, and it's a well thought out plan. It's a series of steps that go in a particular sequence, and they're able to insert programmed responses for people as well, because they can predict the way people are going to react to certain situations, and so they conveniently provide another rabbit hole for them at a specific time, right when they need it. And I've come to realize that we're never really going to be able to address any of the problems we face until we realize that we're being played. And we're not just being played in as far as the control grid goes and the fiction and the education system and the monetary system and all the problems with the system. We're also being played in as far as our research as to what the problem is, simply because so many rabbit holes have been set up for us. Like as I was alluding to last week, you know, you can mount a solid argument that the control grid is run by any number of people. And you can mount a convincing case against the Jesuits, against the Freemasons, against the Vatican, against the banking cartels, against the British royal family, against the crown, against the ruling royal bloodline across Europe, against the Jews, against all sorts of people. You can mount a solid case that the place is run by aliens. You can mount a solid case for all sorts of things, some of them that may seem completely outlandish. And it gets to a point where you realize that all of the information that we need to mount these cases has been carefully placed there for us, just to keep us guessing and just to keep us running down rabbit holes. But really, when you step back, you know, step back from the planet and stand out in space and just look at it and put it down on a global stage and just color different countries into different colors according to their political and religious systems and look at how things are being played. And you begin to realize that so much of the control grid is fiction and so much of what we believe exists as the control grid is also fiction. You know, really, it only exists in our minds, folks. Control and authority is just a state of mind. It's just a state of perception that people have. People perceive the authority is real. They perceive the control grid is there, and so they go along with it, and so they create their own prison in their mind because they are restrained by what they believe exists. When really, most of it is simply a meme. It's simply an idea that's been put into their minds. The problem that we're facing now is that the controlling elite now understand that people are beginning to realize this. They're beginning to realize that they're swimming in a world of fiction. And so the controlling hand is seeking to consolidate this control, to make it more physical, to put it more in your face, to put police and armed guards everywhere and put stringent rules in place, which will enable anybody to become a criminal at any moment of the day or night, on the whim of whichever police officer thinks you may be a problem. So that's all they have to do now, folks, is they just have to come and talk to you and harass you in some way. And if you give them any flack at all and respond to them in any way other than favorably, they can say that you're disobeying a police directive and they can arrest you and put you in jail on no charge. So they're consolidating the control grid, this grid that was fictional, a grid that only really existed in our minds because we perceived authority to be real. Now they are making sure that we continue to think that way because they are putting the control grid in your face and just warning people not to step out of line, not even a little bit, because if you do, we're going to slam you into one of our jails. And this is the problem, you see. This consolidation of the control grid is the problem. And it's coming to a town near you. It's coming to all Western countries as a result of the instability that we're seeing in the Middle East. But all of this instability has been created by the West, specifically for this reason. Well, this is one of the reasons anyway. Another reason is, as I said, the Greater Israel Project, for which all the wealth from the United States is being milked and funneled into the Middle East to create this instability and to bring about the Greater Israel Project. But as a byproduct of that, they also get to lock all Western countries down into a police state, which is what they are in the process of doing now. But again, they're only getting away with it because of the perception in the minds of people that authority is real. And this is, of course, the social meme that they have used to enslave us for so very long. You know, it's really interesting when you look at it, folks, because things are happening that are kind of diametrically opposed to each other. The more they lock the control grid down, the more people are waking up. The more they try to reinforce the meme, the more people are waking up to the fact that it's fiction. And so we are very much on a knife edge at the moment, and it's very interesting seeing how things are playing off against each other, because people are waking up in droves, people that you never would have dreamed would awaken to this control grid are now seeing it right in their face. Our biggest challenge is reaching through to the political system so that we can make a difference. And the problem there, of course, is we are faced with a brick wall of programming, namely the police force that stands between us and the politicians. It's very difficult to press charges against politicians because not a lot of police officers will let you do it. They simply won't accept the charge. And they'll usually start attacking you in some way to cause a response, so then they can just arrest you without charge and throw you into a cell for a little while in the hope that maybe you'll think twice before attempting to stand up against the system again. And so this is why we need strong communal responses to this situation. And this is what I've been saying for so long. You know, whatever your problems are, whatever your differences are with other people, whatever rabbit hole you're going down, if you could just put it aside for the moment, put all these differences aside, and really turn to face this system and see what the problem is and address it from a common perspective, I believe if we do this, we could heal the situation very quickly. And this has essentially been the gist of the message in all of my shows right since the beginning, back in 2008. We really do need a strong communal response to this system. If we've got that, if we can put down our differences and get this strong communal response, then we can change the direction the ship of state is sailing very, very quickly.
And folks, we've got to get some unity in the truth movement. We really do. If the truth movement is going to be any type of truth movement, then we really need unity in the truth movement. People have got to stop attacking everybody else. There's so much infighting, it's ridiculous. In fact, folks, when you're listening to people out there, when you're listening to radio hosts or watching documentaries or whatever, if people are accusing other people of being shills and attacking other researchers, be very, very wary of them. Any so-called truther, anyone who is naming other people as shills and undermining the work of others, be very, very wary of these people. Because ultimately, there's only one enemy that we're all facing, and that is the psychopaths that run the system. So anybody who is attacking anybody else is usually part of the system, or is part of the problem, or is simply programmed into that response. I mean, just because someone disagrees with somebody else's research, it doesn't mean the person is wrong. It doesn't mean the person is a shill. It's just someone who's offering their perspective on the information that they've had available to them and offering a suggestion on what it might be, what the solution might be, what the problem might be. If they've got it wrong, it may just be because they haven't looked at all the information yet, but that doesn't mean that they're a shill. Now, very often it's just someone offering what they perceive to be a valid idea that may lead towards a solution. And I think we need to look at all of these things and bring it all together and put it all on the table and decide which direction is the best for us to go in. I mean, there's a gem of gold in most people's ideas, folks. You can't throw the whole thing away without discussing it and putting it on the table with everything else, because that's how we work out a viable solution to this situation. But if we're constantly attacking everybody and putting everybody down because they don't totally agree 100% with our perspective, then we're just exacerbating the problem. And I see far too much of that in the so-called truth movement. You know, I have a certain amount of spiritual understandings that I use to get myself through life. I don't know whether they work for other people, but they work for me. I mean, all the spiritual understandings that I've presented to you over the years on the shows, these are all my perspectives, folks. These are things that I've offered you as a suggestion that you may want to consider this way of thinking, because it's helped me in what I do. You know, the stuff that I tell you, the spiritual connections about the energetic universe and all of this sort of stuff, these are just things that I've experienced on my own. This is my perspective, and this is what works for me, and that's why I've offered it to you. And I really believe that people can maintain a high energy state by being in their heart space, by having good intentions in what they do. I mean, I have good intentions in all that I do. I don't ever lie to you. I don't ever bring you information that I know is untruthful. Sometimes I might not get things right. When I talk to you, I might make a mistake. I might not get things right. And you might hear shows now where my opinion is different to what it was back in 2008 or 2010. And that's okay. That's called growth. But all I've ever done is attempt to offer you my perspective. And I believe it is an energetic universe. And if your intentions are good, you can receive energy from source. You can channel it directly into yourself. And no matter how much you give to other people, you're never depleted because your intentions are pure and you're connected to the energy of the universe. I really believe this. But there are many people who can't do that. Their intentions may not be pure. They may be locked in fear. They may be locked in self-service. You don't know. There might be all sorts of reasons. They may have simply been browbeaten by society so much that they don't know any other way to think than the way they do. And very often the only source of energy these people can get is other people. And so they have to attack other people. They have to steal the energy of other people because it's the only source of energy they know. And unfortunately, the most readily source of energy available for most people is the energy of those around them that they can steal by simply attacking them. And you know, you see someone in a happy, good mood and you attack them and put them in a bad mood or make them sad or make them upset or destroy their confidence and they run home and cry and suddenly you feel better because you've taken their energy from them. And that's unfortunately what many people within our societies do simply because they've been trained to react that way. And so it's very easy for people to slip into this trap. And that's what many people in the truth movement, so-called truth movement, seem to do. You know, they've been screaming out against this controlling hand for so long and pointing the finger at so many people for so long and saying, he's to blame, he's the one, they're the ones that are to blame. And they've got no results from their actions, and so they're depleted of all their energy, and so they have to attack other people in the research movement and steal the energy from them because it's their only source of energy. You know, there's no one person you can blame and point the finger at. Even when I speak out the way I do against Israel, folks, I'm speaking out against the mechanism that is Israel. I don't hate the Jewish people. I've got Jewish friends. I've got Jewish friends who come and stay at the house all the time. And I've often said that when you look at the actions of Israel, it's very important that it doesn't turn into a let's hate the Jew fest, because that's not what it's about. Israel is a mechanism that's being used to destabilize the Middle East. It's run by banking cartels. It's got nothing to do with the Jewish people. The Jewish people are copping the flak from the actions of the state of Israel. And the people that live within Israel are very, very programmed to support these actions. But again, it's all from programming. It's all from concepts that have been placed in people's minds and the training they've received. You can't blame the people. You've got to look at the system itself and understand why the system is there. The system is there because the world is run by psychopaths, and it continues because we live in disunited communities who are always fighting and infighting and attacking each other and stealing each other's energy because we're disconnected from source and we're simply running the programs and doing what we're trained to do. And this is all due to training, folks. It really is due to training. It's due to the way we've been taught to think and the way we've been taught to react in certain situations. You know, a product of not only the education system, but of the programming that we get in movies and the general frustration that people feel simply living in a society that is debt-based, because everybody is forced to live in a state of perpetual self-generating debt. And this is an endless source of frustration for people, even without them knowing it. It's just there in the back of their minds. They're never really able to live their lives because their lives are controlled by the banking system, which again has been done very much by design, and it's a Zionist control system designed to divide and conquer people. Divide and conquer them by social status and economic status and by those in more of a state of scarcity than others. And people tend to hang around with their class, and it's a subtle form of divide and conquer, which again is all part of the Zionist strategy for Western society. You know, in speaking out against the state of Israel and the Jewish control of the world, you've got to understand that the whole thing has been constructed in this way so that it sounds like you're speaking out against Jews when really the problem is Zionism. It's just that Zionists have managed to blur the line between Zionism and Judaism. It's Zionist control. Sure, the Zionists that control these systems are Jewish, but they've done it that way so that you blame the Jewish people. But it's not really the Jewish people. It's Zionism is the problem. that is controlling the whole banking system and all this sort of stuff. So you've really got to get all of this hatred of people out of your minds and hatred out of your hearts. You know, I've often said to you that nothing I do on the show and none of the words that I utter and none of the path that I'm on is due to hatred. I don't hate people. I don't hate the banking cartels. I don't even hate Benjamin Netanyahu for massacring thousands of people in Gaza last year. I love the people of Gaza. I love the people of Palestine. I just love humanity, and that's why I do what I do. I'm motivated by love, not by hatred. But at the same time, that's not going to stop me speaking out against people that are doing bad things. It's not going to stop me criticizing the actions of Israel simply because of what it does, because it's humanitarian to criticize the actions of Israel. But you've got to understand that Israel is a mechanism. It's a mechanism that's being used to destabilize not only the Middle East, but also the world. Look at the mass immigration that's happening into Europe at the moment of mainly Middle Eastern people. Why is this happening? Well, it's happening not only because there are Zionist influences within Europe that promote the immigration of other people, but it's also happening because the Zionist influences in the Middle East are destabilizing the Middle East and making people run for the hills. And if you live in the Middle East, where's the first place you're going to run to? Well, you're going to run to Europe because you can get there by foot, you can get there by train, you can get there by bus. You don't have to have a particular amount of money to get there. You can just walk to Europe if you need to. And so that's, of course, where the influx is coming from. It's because we are destabilizing the Middle East and making it a place that you cannot possibly live in. I mean, look at the huge exodus from Syria because of what's been happening there with the war, just from the Yarmouk refugee camp, just as one example. There were 160,000 Palestinians in Yarmouk refugee camp, and when the war broke out, that number reduced down to 18,000 people. So where are the other 142,000 Palestinian refugees that were in the camp? Now they've been forced to move to other areas. And of course, they're going to spill into Europe. And this promotes the concept to the European people that, oh my God, we're being invaded by Muslims. And this is all part of this Zionist agenda. It's all part of the divide and conquer strategy, folks. And all of this divide and conquer is going to continue until we realize that we're being played. And we're being played on so many fronts. Like I said, there is so much divide and conquer that has infiltrated into all aspects of social change we're trying to implement. It's infiltrated into the truth movement. There's always agent provocateurs that are in there to point the finger at people within their same movement and create division. And we're seeing a lot of this in the truth movement, folks. We're seeing a lot of it in all aspects of the resistance against the system. We're seeing divide and conquer strategies being played out. A lot of the rabbit holes that are being presented to people are designed specifically to divide the community. Things such as the flat earth debate. This is a perfect tool for dividing the community. And you'll find that people within that movement accuse anybody who questions them as being shills. And this indicates that such people are either controlled opposition or they're simply running the program that so many people have been trained to run, which is all part of the divide and conquer strategy. You know, if we had some cohesion, and that cohesion will only ever come from respect for each other, then we could make some change. We could make some real change. Now, there's so many people on the world who are awake to the control grid and who really do want change, but they are so often led away from any unity by agent provocateurs and divisionists within the movement itself. So when you follow people, when you listen to what they say, when you go to their websites, have a look through their websites and see if you can find articles of hatred towards other researchers. See if you can find articles that are suggesting these other researchers are all shills and government agents. And you'll find that most of the articles that are written about these people are written about them by people who have never met them, never spend any time with them, and just seek to vilify everybody else and say, come and listen to what I have to say because it's my way or the highway. Nobody else has it right. And the fact is that there are many people who've got many points that are right. There are many people who are still learning. I mean, we're all still learning, folks. I don't get it right all the time. I don't know anybody who does get it right all the time. We're all finding our way through this system. But what is needed is respect and unity. And what else is really needed very, very much is for people to examine their intentions in what they do. You know, is what you're doing when you're bringing research to the world, is what you're doing a mechanism for fame and glory and self-gratification? Or is it truly something that you're doing from your heart because you wish to make a better world? These are questions that people really do need to ask themselves. Because as I've so often said, folks, so many of the mysteries that have been put there and the rabbit holes that have been put there simply to divide us and to keep us guessing, to keep us investigating, and to keep us from ever really addressing the root cause of the problem, which is the control grid itself. And we really need to focus our attention on this control grid, because when we do, all of these mysteries and questions will be answered. That's where the answers lie, folks. They lie in humanity becoming empowered enough and responsible enough and respectful enough to be able to actually, if they can't govern themselves straight away, to at least be able to participate in politics, participate in something like direct democracy. Just get involved in the decision-making that happens in your respective countries by making your voice heard and having a respectful community that will stand up as one community for the greater good of the community is a wonderful thing. And it's a force to be reckoned with, folks. It's a force that can overturn any government corruption and any government action, any rules that are brought in that seek to control the people or impoverish the people a little more. All of these things can be circumvented by an empowered and respectful community who is operating from their hearts with the right intention in their actions. And it's really important that we realize that and examine what our intentions are in what we do, folks. You know, intention is everything, folks. You know, if your intention is to carry out revenge against someone who's wronged you, then this is bad intention. You know, but if your intention is to realize that you've been wronged and then to rectify the system that wronged you and to perhaps hold the person who controls that system accountable for their actions because you care about humanity and you care about someone else being hurt by the system the way you were, then that's a very different motivation for doing what you do. Intention really is everything, folks. And if you have hatred in your heart with anything you do, then it's going to lead to a bad place. That's why violent revolution is such a bad thing. Violent revolution can never solve anything, because violent revolution is very often carried out by people with hatred in their hearts. You know, wanting to go and hurt and attack somebody and firebomb a building or something like this, this is something that is motivated by hatred, motivated by revenge, motivated by a feeling of impotency and ineffectiveness that you may have against the system. But you can be effective by having an honest intention in what you do and by having love and freedom in your heart. If that is your intention and that is your motivation in your actions, then you can achieve great things and you can rally people to help you. And that's the way we have to do it, folks. We have to have the right intention in our hearts, because when we do that, then the grass fires spread and it becomes a movement that is not a movement, not controlled by anybody. It's decentralized. It's people on the ground in their own communities standing up for what is right. And that is what is needed. And that is how we will bring about change. So it's very important that people step back and look at things. Don't get led down rabbit holes. Look at what is creating the rabbit holes. Look at what has created the control grid and what has created and put all the mysteries in place for you to begin with and address it at its root cause. If we do that, then we'll see some real change. But we're just about at the end of the show here, folks. I'm going to have to leave it there for now. It's been a pleasure having your company with me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to come and speak to you. I really hope you do listen to what I've said on the show today, and I really do hope you can see the sense in some of the messages that I've brought to you over the past 8 years. This is a beautiful world, folks, and we have all the opportunities we've ever needed to fix the problems that we have and to steer humanity in a very, very positive direction. And now's the time that I think we need to really motivate ourselves to get involved and do it. But thank you again for listening to the show today. Thank you to anybody who has ever sent me a kind word. I do love to receive your emails. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. It really is the only thing that keeps me going and keeps the websites going. So thank you very much for anybody who's ever helped out. But that is it for me, folks. I'm completely out of time. It's been a pleasure speaking to you again today. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.